and how we know that one touch makes the difference. That one touch saved you, one touch changed you, one touch spoke to you. Just takes one touch from the Holy Spirit to make everything new. And this is the story of the woman with the issue of blood who could find no help or no hope anywhere else until she found Jesus. And there are things in our lives that we encounter that there is no hope outside of Jesus. There is no resolve outside of Jesus. It takes the hand of God to move our mountains and to heal our land. And this is a very powerful story of a woman who knew she could get to Jesus. Her faith knew she could get to Jesus that everything would be different. And, you know, there's a lot of things we can place our faith in. But we need to place our faith in the Lord. That's what counts. And we place our faith in our money, it can be gone, or things this world can be gone. But the one thing that is constant is Jesus and our faith in Him. He will never fail us and He will never forsake us. He is with us to the end through every battle and every storm. And this woman had come to the end of her ropes and had nowhere else to turn. And let's read this story. This is in Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was getting none better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press, the crowd behind, and touched His garment. For she said, "If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue or power had gone out of Him, turned about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And His disciples said unto Him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Let's pray over the word tonight. Father, as we enter this word, I pray that you just bring wisdom to this message and understanding, and that you meet our needs here tonight with this message, that we leave here with something, that you encourage us through this word, and that we leave with more than we came in with, to know that you are the only one that we need to touch, and when we touch you, things are different. We thank you for this time together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, here's a woman who had suffered for 12 years, a blood disease. Now, something about this that you may need to be noted is she was considered in Jewish customs unclean, and so she shouldn't have been out in public to begin with. So it was a great risk for her to come out in the crowd. It was a great risk for her, being an unclean woman, to be in the crowd and out in public to begin with. But something must have stirred her. She was so desperate. She was so tired of being sick. She was so tired of being bound. Nobody could help her. No doctor, all of her money, all the skills of that day could not fix her problem. But she heard Jesus was coming by. And I'm sure she'd heard stories of Jesus, what He had done, who He'd healed, all of His miracles, that He had special power, special gifts. And she says, "You know what, if I can just get to Jesus, if I can press my way through the crowd." And it takes sometimes us pressing our way through the crowd of doubt, through the crowd of unbelief, through the crowd of fear, through the crowd of discouragement, through the crowd of anxiety and worry, and pressing our way through the crowd of all those things and saying, "You know what, I'm going to touch Jesus and let nothing stand in my way. Nothing's going to get between me and my Father. I'm touching Him and nothing's going to stop it. I'm not going to get tripped up. I'm not going to be detoured. I'm bullying my way through until I touch Him." You know, there used to be an old saying back in the old days about you got to press in, you got to press in, you got to press through. And you know, there's times in our spiritual walk that I do believe that is true, that not that God's not there, He is, but that we get so distracted and bottled up with junk. We've got so much junk interfered between us and God that we got to press our way through all of that so we can clearly hear Him again. You know, it's kind of like if you're in a crowd of people, say you're in a stadium and you hear a lot of voices around you, But you can't really make out any particular thing anybody's saying. You just hear people over here talking, you hear them talking, but you can't really make anything out of any one person until you get close enough or until you zero in on one person enough to hear what they're saying. Sometimes the enemy's like that. He gives us all this noise, all these voices around us, and we can't really clearly hear what God's trying to say. We hear talking, we can see God, we hear bits of what he's saying, but we're not really hearing a clear message. And so we got to press our way through all that junk, all those lies of the devil, all those distractions, all the stuff he throws in our way, and say, nothing's going to stop me from my journey with the Lord. Nothing's going to stop me from finding my healing. Nothing's going to stop me from getting my deliverance. Nothing's going to stop me from getting my joy. Nothing's going to stop me from getting my peace. Because as Melanie Dunn said, all these doors are available to us from God to walk into and embrace. God, I need the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I am weak because I'm not full of joy. But when I get my joy back, I get my strength back. Lord, I'm tired of walking in fear. I'm tired of worrying about this. You've got other things better for me to walk into. If I can just press my way through that and touch you and quit listening to the discouraging lies from the enemy that tell me that God doesn't care, God doesn't hear me, God doesn't move, God's not really there, God doesn't move like he used to move. Yes, he does. He always has and he always will move like he's always moved. God's not changed. The world has changed. Generations have changed. People have changed, but God's not changed. God is constant. God is faithful. God is real. God is still the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Healer. He's still the resurrected Judge. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's still the Rose of Sharon, the Lion of Judah. Nothing has changed. Nobody has stripped any of his titles away. He's still a miracle-working, water-walking, wall-busting, lion-taming, giant-slaying, Red Sea-parting God. Nothing has ever changed that, and it never will. So we need to clearly zone in and begin to hear from him again. Get a direct line. It's kind of like a cell phone when you're in a bad spot. How that's okay, darling. I appreciate that. That's great. See her doing that like she's clapping. That's nice. That's a good thing. Maybe she wasn't clapping at me. Sorry. But anyway, you got a cell phone. You got a bad spot. It comes in and out. Interferes. You get bits and pieces. You know, I can't hear you. Hold on. I'm going through a hill or a dip. And there's nothing more aggravating than that, is there? You're trying to talk to somebody, and you're going in and out, in and out, in and out. That is sometimes how we hear God, just in and out, in and out. We need a direct line again, a clear line to talk and hear from God. This woman was making a clear beeline straight to the source. There wasn't none of this, you know what, you know, pantering around, what, none of this. If you see Jesus, he'll stop by my way. Hey, brother, go. If you find Jesus, you got time, send him my way. Or, you know, what, none of this. Well, I hope he comes by. Or if he's God, he'll know my need. Or if he's really God, he'll stop in and he'll see me. She says, you know what? No, I'm going to him. I'm going to him. I'm going to press my way, unclean, unholy by Jewish law. People know I'm sick. They're going to judge me for being out here. They're going to talk about me for being out here. They're going to persecute me for being out here, saying, what are you doing in public? Well, how dare you touch this beautiful Messiah? You're unworthy. You're unclean. But she said, you know what? Can he help me? Is there mercy for me? I know he's got what I need. I know he can do it. I know he's got the power to do it. So I'm going to go get it. I'm not going to let nothing keep me from getting what God has for me. We need that fortitude again in the church and in our Christian walk, and quit accepting what the devil throws us and saying, this is just how it is. We need to rise up and say, no, you're not stealing my joy and my peace and my authority and my power and my mind. You're not stealing those things. You don't have the power to take those things. God gave me those things. I have the Holy Spirit in me, which remains eternally in me. I walk with him and talk with him. He lives in me and abides in me and breathes in me, and that can't be separated by storms or by battles. It can't be divided out or taken away because I'm going through a bad spot. You remain faithful and you're still my God and you still live inside of me, and I'm going to get back what the devil has stolen from me and not let him keep having it and keep hanging on to it. He didn't have the right for that because Jesus' blood bought me and I belong to him. And you know what? Not just my salvation, but God has everything for me. Everything. I can live life in peace and with joy and with victory because of him, because of what he's given me. And things that happen around us are just going to happen, but we can't lose focus of the prize and what God's called us to do. We can't lose focus of that. We have to stay the course God has placed us on and not get detoured. This woman could have easily just stayed home when she heard of Jesus. She could have rationed out in her mind, I probably won't get to touch him anyway. I might not make it. I'm too weak. I'm too sick. I'm too embarrassed. I'm just going to stay here and suffer. But she didn't. She pressed her way through, and she touched his garment. And I love, it says that in verse 28, she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." She had so much faith that if she could just touch Jesus as he passed by, just touch him, that she would be made whole. We need that faith again. That same faith to believe that if I can just touch Jesus, man, that's all I need. That's truly all I need. Jesus can make me whole. He can help me. He can fix my problem. He can touch me again. He can give me what I need. He can give me those desires. He can bless my life and bless my home and bless my family. He can still do those things if I'll get out of the way and trust him to still be my God. You know, to allow God to be your God, you got to trust him to be your God, which means we get out of the way sometimes, and that's hard to do. You know, when we give things to God, we still hang on to them ourselves and try to manage them, and that's not really giving it to God. Giving it to God means, God, it's yours. And in your time and in your season, I trust you. It will be worked out. Until then, what do? I remain faithful. I remain faithful to God, and I trust him with my whole heart. This woman, I believe, had no doubt that her problem of 12 years would be fixed. Now, I wonder what her approach to Jesus was. Remember, she was weak and she was sick. So was she crawling? Was she limping? Was she barely moving? She was slow, probably, unsure at first, a little nervous. Can you imagine she started pressing her way through all the people, and she finally saw where he was, and the devil, I'm sure, come against her and says, "Don't do it. Don't go no further." But in her mind, no, I'm this close to my deliverance. I'm this close to my healing. I'm this close. Do you realize how close each one of us are? I don't care if you're 9 years old or 90 years old. How close each one of us in here are to glory. We are all so close to glory. In this span of eternity, there are just a few years on the earth that separate us from glory, from walking into what God has. We are almost to the place Moses was. We're looking in. And then there'll be a moment we cross over. We're at the point of looking in. We can see the lights of heaven. We can see and feel and sense the redemptive work that's about to take place in every believer's lives. We can almost hear that sound. We can almost see that light. We're right here. We're so close. Think about how close each of us really are. And so we stay the course. We march forward. We keep pressing in. We don't give up. And we don't get discouraged. And we don't listen to lies of the devil. And we don't give up our faith when it gets hard. We don't give up our faith because things in our lives that are difficult seem to overwhelm us. We're this close. It's like the birth pangs. We understand that right before the birth, the greatest pain for a woman, that during that labor when she's pushing and she's having those pains and the child's not quite came out, but it's right there and she's in pain and she's frustrated and tired and weak and ready for it to be over, then all of a sudden she hears the cries of that seed as that child comes forth out of the birth canal. We are in the birth canal now, being pushed forward by the glory of God. Pushed forward. And in that pushing, there is pain. In that pushing, there's uncertainty sometimes. In that pushing, there's darkness that we can't always see the end of the tunnel, so to speak. But something happens. In that moment, however God calls our name, in that moment, we come out of that pushing moment of darkness into the delivering moment of light. That's what we see. We cross into what we were meant to be a part of. His kingdom forevermore. We were meant to live forever. We were meant to never grow old. We were meant never to grow sick. We were meant never to be tired. We were meant never to be discouraged. We were meant to walk in power and joy and authority. And we have that place again because of what Jesus did on the cross. He made that way for us. This is not it for us. It's only a crossing point to get to where God has for us. It's only a short-term journey. But praise God, one day we'll hear His voice. One day we'll just know, I'm going home. I've been with many people in the hospitals who've made that statement to me and said, I'm going home. And I thought they meant going home. They meant going home because they knew God had done revealed or spoke or showed them, and they had such a peace, I'm going home. I mean, think about that. The greatest words to ever hear uttered is to see God's hand saying, get ready, you're coming home. Thank God, leave this behind. God, I'll take your hand, embrace what you have for me. We're at the edge of that glory right now, the edge of that glory. Can see in, but not quite there. This woman was pushing her way through the crowd, could see Jesus, and could have stopped and said, it's too hard. Tune people in a way. I'll never get to them. I'm getting kicked on, stepped on, looked at, rebuked. But you know what? I'm going to keep on and keep on. If I can just brush them, just barely touch them, I know something. That's my point of contact. That's where my healing's at. And as she touched Jesus, the Bible says immediately virtue went out of him. Power went out of him. There's a lot of people that were touching him and, hey, Jesus, and love you, Messiah, or whatever, hitting him on the head and the shoulders. But it was no virtue going out. But when this woman crawled to him and brushed against him, something came out of Jesus. He felt a release of healing coming out of him. And he turned around and says, who touched me? Master, many have touched you. No, not that kind. Somebody came for a need and they got healed. Who was it? Somebody came with some faith. Somebody got what they came for. Who was it? And what is the need? And here this woman, afraid, said, Lord, it was me. And if I was wrong, I'm sorry, but I just had to touch you. I had to get my healing. I spent all that I had. We come to a point in life sometimes we spend all that we have. I mean, we're bankrupt emotionally. We're bankrupt spiritually. God, I've spent it all. I have nothing less to give, nothing more. What do I do now? This woman was frustrated, upset. I gave everything. Nobody can fix me. Nobody can help me. I've spent all my energy, all my effort, all my time. I've spent it all. Can anybody out there really help me? And she heard of Jesus, and Jesus did help her. And immediately her blood, it said, dried up. And 12 years of trying to get healed by man, one touch in one moment of time, just one moment. We've seen through the years, some of you have experienced this when you got saved. You ran from God, you were rebellious, you were doing your own thing, and then God drew, God spoke, and in one moment of time, you might have been a rebel for 30, 40 years, and in one moment of time, God touched you, and everything changed. All the years of running, all the years of rebellion was changed because Jesus passed your way. It takes one touch of the Holy Spirit to change everything. One touch. It's a precious thing when the Holy Spirit passes your way. It's a precious thing when God follows and comes to you and knocks on your heart. It's precious when I saw Ashley at the swing set that night, that evening, and God speaking to my daughter just out there by herself. That was precious. Nobody around her, no other voices. I mean, just her out there on the swing set and God speaking to her and just showing himself to her. How precious is that, that God of the universe chose my child to call just swinging on a swing. Innocently swinging on a swing. And if she was just out there singing songs to God. And it's a beautiful story. I mean, if you've not heard this, I want to share this. It's a beautiful story. This is about 3 years ago. She's on a swing set out here. I was over here at the church doing some work, and Melanie was here, and Melanie done left. I had Ashley with me. She's on a swing set. She came inside. I said, Dad, so I was out there swinging, facing the woods, and it was kind of cloudy. I just started singing Jesus songs and stuff, and all of a sudden the cloud broke and the sun came out, and she says, like, I heard this voice saying, I want to save you. And she came in crying, and I was like, wow. And I called Melanie back to the church, and we talked to her, and she's crying for the Lord. And I said, what? She said, yeah, I heard God speak to me. He wants to save me. And we knelt down here in the sanctuary, me, her, and just Melanie, and prayed with her salvation. And she was baptized in a few months later. But see, one touch changed her life. One touch. That's all it takes. Whatever you're battling, all it takes is one touch. Whatever you're enduring, one touch can change everything. At any moment, at any time, God's on duty. And God's season is perfect. And God's timing is perfect. And God knows what he's doing. There's no mistake. You know, I believe God put that thought in that woman's mind to go find Jesus. He's going to be passing you away. Why don't you go see him? Why don't you go visit him? Why don't you go touch him? Because I've got your healing waiting on you. She dried, the blood dried up, and she was immediately made whole. Not anymore unclean, but now clean. Not just physically, but spiritually as well. She was clean. Whatever your battle is, whatever your need is, press your way through and don't let anything or anybody stop you. If God's got something for you, you go after it. Don't let anybody discourage you with a bunch of mumbo jumbo. You listen to God's voice. You know God's voice. And don't be discouraged by what you see around you, but be encouraged by who lives in you, because that's where the strength's at, right here. We are, as Christians, carrying his Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit's alive in us, doing an active work every day, helping us, sustaining us, strengthening us. Use that. Tap into that power. I mean, it's kind of like old Superman, you know, Clark Kent would be in his glasses and tie and look kind of nerdy, and then he would go into a phone booth and change and come out Superman. Just, you know, in a moment, just go in that little phone booth, and all of a sudden he'd come out with tight pants and a big old S. That's pretty neat. He was tapping into his superpowers. We have superpower living in us. Tap into it. Walk in it. Experience it. Here's the thing that's beautiful about the Holy Spirit. We can call on God any moment, whenever we're at and wherever we're at, and we can feel his presence. It doesn't have to be in a church atmosphere. It doesn't have to be a certain setting to create that. By having the Holy Spirit, we can be in our car. We can be alone at home. We can be in our basement or out in our outbuilding, wherever. We can be somewhere. And in that moment, say, Lord, I need to feel your touch. I just need to feel you. I need to know you're there. And there's nothing wrong with that. God wants us to experience his touch. God wants us to feel him. Yes, we're saved by faith, but isn't it great you can feel God? I thank God I can feel his presence. I thank God he can still pass my way and touch me and remind me, it's okay, James. I still love you. And I'm fighting, believe me, you may not see it, but I'm fighting for you. And I've got this. I'm thankful for that Holy Spirit. I would be lost without it. And, you know, I find myself not using it the way I need to use it sometimes. We get lazy. We get caught up in the things of the world. We get caught up in life. We get caught up with kids and family and work and people and stuff. That sometimes we don't tap into it like we need to and use it. But it's available. And it's there. It is there. That's why the Bible says that we should meditate on the Word of God day and night. It's why it says, you know, to pray without ceasing. We can do that all day long, be in prayer, be in meditation all day long. You know, I know we can't just fall on our knees everywhere we are, but we can continually on our jobs even be in meditation, thinking about the things of God, asking for his help, praying under our breath. We can continually sing a song. We can continually meditate on his Word throughout our day. This is a beautiful story of a woman that nobody could help but Jesus did, that was sick and no hope for, and hope showed up, and Jesus touched her. It goes on following this story to tell another story of Jairus' daughter, who was 12 years old, who was dead. And Jesus walked in and said, she's just sleeping. They thought he was crazy. What do you mean she's sleeping? She's just sleeping. He brought mom and dad in the room, closed the door, spoke the words of life to her. She raised up off the bed. That's the touch Jesus could give us. He can resurrect the dead. Not just physically, but I mean emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. He can resurrect your death. He's got the power to resurrect that which has been destroyed by the enemy. God can rebuild. He's a builder. I thank God for that. Whatever you need, press your way through. Don't let anybody stop you. You press your way through until you are walking in the fullness of what God has for you. There is no power greater than the power of Jesus. There is no demon that can usurp his authority. There is nothing bigger than God. Surrender and trust him for your deliverance and your healing and your breakthrough. See, we need some breakthroughs. There's some stuff tied up, and we need breakthrough. We need things unchained and unshackled and cut off of our lives. And that comes with the power of the Holy Ghost and nothing else. Nothing else. It comes with declaring the power of the Holy Spirit upon your situation and doing it with faith and with expectation that God can do it. We read all these stories. I've been kind of, I don't know, God's last couple of days have been stirring me to really, for my own benefit, for my own faith, to begin to go back and read some of these stories, the Old Testament, of what he did. He's not changed. He can still do it. We read Daniel in the lion's den, David and Goliath, you know, the Red Sea, Samson and all the events and, you know, all the things. We read these stories. We read of Jacob and his wonderful journey from being, going from, I call him from a convict to a prince. We read these stories. But these stories really happened. It really was the hand of God. I really believe, church, the Red Sea parted. I really believe that David slew Goliath. I really believe that Noah and the ark was saved because of God's grace. I really believe that those lions were their mouths were closed as Daniel slept all night. I believe those stories. I believe that Jonah was swallowed and then spit back out on ground. I believe it happened like the Word says it happened. And if we could go back and read some of these stories, I believe that Jesus healed this woman. I believe he healed the 12-year-old and raised her from the dead. I believe he raised Lazarus from the dead. I believe he walked through the water. I believe he put money in the fish's mouth. I believe that he put all them fish in them boats so much they about sank after been fishing all night long and there was nothing there. Peter said, Lord, no offense, but we're fishermen. You're a carpenter. We know how to fish. We've been out here all night long and haven't caught anything. Go back out again. But God, they're not there. We know our business. The GPS shows, bloop, 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 no fish there. There are no dots on my screen. They're not there. Go back out anyway. Drop your line. And when they obeyed, remember what Peter said? Said, okay, God, I don't believe it. But nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. So at God's word, he dropped those lines. And what happened? All of a sudden, the fish were there. To the point the boats almost sank and they had to get more boats to bring them in. Where did all them fish come from? It's a beautiful story. You know, I've said this before, I always think, you know, were the fish just there and just hiding and wasn't baiting? Or were they not there at all? And then once they dropped the line, God made them. There they are. Either way, it's remarkable. I kind of believe God just made them. I believe they wasn't there. And when they dropped their word, they were there. God created them right then. I believe in these stories. I believe Paul and Silas were in prison, praising and singing hymns to God, and an earthquake came and unshackled their chains and opened the prison door. I believe those things. I believe Paul was caught away to the third heaven. I believe in these stories. I believe everything the Bible says. As we go back and read these stories again, it should motivate us to say, God, you can still do that. My God, you can still do that. You can still roll the stone away and you can still raise the dead and heal the sick and you can do whatever you want to do. You can provide in a moment of famine, God. You can feed when there is no bread, give water where there is no. You can still do that. You can still bring deliverance where everybody says it's hopeless and it's done. Give up. And then we raise our hand and God says, watch this. Finally, you let go and watch what I can do. Go back and read some of these stories we learned to be a motivator for your life that God still can do it. I think we've forgotten sometimes. Even in our own lives, we got testimonies where God's healed us, or God's done a miracle for us, or God's really touched us in some way, where God's hand's been on our lives, and we have seen the hand of God move in our homes. We've been there. Remind yourself of the things God's done for you so you don't forget. Let's never forget the benefits of the Lord and all he's done for us, and that he has not changed. Just because I've not seen the Atlantic Ocean divided in half don't mean God can't do it. And just because I go to Myrtle Beach and I wave my Bible all up, Be still, people, and watch the hand of the Lord. I get the cops called pretty quick, probably, for, you know, loco on the beach. And though I weigh my Bible and never see the water part, I know God could if he wanted to. Man, he holds that sun 93 million miles away. This ball of bursting gas and flames that's, I mean, it'd kill you if you got anywhere close to it. Yet it hangs in midair, providing light and life to this planet. We see that beautiful moon each night. God just keeps hanging there. Pulls that tide in and pulls that tide out. Controlling all of that. That's the hand and works of my God. God can do it all. God was so great that even on the stars, he made what we call constellations. Connect the dots and make all kinds of animals. Isn't that cool? There's bulls up there and eagles up there and Little Dipper and Big Dipper and Capricorn and donkeys and horses and cows and pigs. Well, I don't know if it was pigs. He was a Jew. I'm not sure. But there was a lot of things that were up there that if you connect the dots, they make shapes. I mean, kids play that all the time, connect the dot game. God did in the sky for us. That is just incredible, all the shapes that are up there. You can't see them around here. Too many trees or too much light. But you go out Nebraska. Well, you can see the sky out there. It's beautiful. Oh, you can see. I saw all kinds of shapes out there. I'm like, look at all them shapes. You can see them out there. It's awesome. That's my God. And God can still do it. And God is still doing it. And God's got more still yet to do. Let's trust him like this woman. Whatever our issue is, her issue was a blood issue. What's your issue? Let God touch you. Take it to him and say, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. And I'm going to touch him and believe he's got what I need. And he can make it whole again. He can take the brokenness, the pieces, and make it whole again. Glory. It's a good story. Powerful story. And it took a lot of courage for this woman to do what she did. And you know what? It takes courage for us to come to God sometimes because of the fear and all the doubt and the lies we believed in. It takes courage sometimes to approach God and say, God, can you touch me? Sure he can. I love when he says, I'll reject no one that comes to me. You ain't worried about being rejected by God. He accepts us when we come to him. All of our junk he accepts. If we could see ourselves as God sees us. Me and Melanie had the privilege today. I think it's a privilege to maybe sow a seed, minister to someone's life today. They don't come to church here. But I got a phone call. Someone want me to come pray in their home. And they've been seeing some things and some shadows and hearing voices and just some evil stuff going on. And called and said, can you come anoint our home and pray for it? So me and Melanie rode up today and this afternoon and met with the family. They got several kids and sent the kids out of the room while I talked to the mom. And we were talking, and then we brought, they have a young teenage girl, and she'd been the one experiencing some of this, hearing these voices and stuff like that. So I brought her out, we brought her back out, and her mom began to tell about how she was kind of picked on and bullied and called ugly, and just a young teenage girl, and she's actually a very beautiful young girl. She's not ugly at all. I mean, she's really a beautiful young girl. And I could feel in my spirit that she had no self-worth at all. And, you know, when you don't know who you are, you believe any lie that comes your way. And so we, of course, we anointed the house. We put oil on the door, and we prayed over the home. And I just gave some instructions to the mom of what I thought she needed to do in her home and different things like that. And but then we brought the girl out, and you know, mom wasn't sure she wanted to be prayed for or not. I said, well, just if you would, just go get her. I don't have any pressure. I'm just going to ask her. If you don't want prayer, that's fine, but while I'm here, I want to offer that to her. They brought her out, and she immediately said, yeah, that's fine. Pray for me. We joined hands and prayed, and, you know, I felt such a tender spirit in this young girl. And I remember my prayer saying, Lord, let her see herself as you see her. There are so many people that don't see themselves as God sees them. Beautiful, his creation. And, of course, left a church card with the family and, of course, invited them, not in church anywhere right now. And But I felt real good about that experience of being able to sow a seed. And there's so many people that are like that, hearing all these lies of you're nothing, you're nobody, you're ugly, you know, getting picked on, getting bullied. Kids are just mean. You know, they're just mean. And a lot of times it comes because they got mean parents, to be honest. And they got parents that don't teach them no better. Kids don't be mean in school. Don't be picking on people with uncomfortable names, being ugly to them. It's hurtful. And it does a lot of damage. And I hope we left a seed in this house that this young girl will start seeing herself maybe a little bit different. That she's not what everybody says she is. She can be different. You know what? You're not what the devil says you are either. You know what you are as a Christian? You're forgiven. Whew, that's a powerful thing. I'm forgiven. Devil, you can't hold nothing against me. There's no charge you can hold against me. I've been acquitted of all charges by the blood of Jesus. I've been acquitted. Isn't it awesome to know we were guilty and we've been acquitted? Can you imagine standing in court and you're guilty of crime? I mean, you're guilty. You've got 10 felonies, guilty of all of them. I mean, you're guilty. And the judge says, James Lewis, I'm waiving all charges and declaring you innocent. You're free to go. No time served, no penalty, no fine. You are innocent. You are free. You are forgiven of all debt. That's what Jesus did. He forgave us of all the debt that we owed. He made the payment for us. He must have thought a lot about his creation to do that. We each are special creation to him. That's right. He loves us so much. He even loves the New Yorkers. Aren't you glad for that, sister? And she's thick New York. Whew. She says coffee in a way I can't even say it. Coffee. Cup of coffee. Boy, I'm thankful for God and his love and his mercy. And I'm thankful that he's with me in times I need him so much. We all want to face a season. If you haven't yet, you will. We'll all face a season in our life when we have nowhere to turn but God. And we're going to need him to step in. Don't be afraid to make that beeline to his throne. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews? To approach his throne with boldness. You know what that means? It means confidence. To approach his throne with confidence, he's going to hear our prayer. One touch is all it takes. Would you stand with me for a minute? I want to pray over the congregation tonight. I know many of you have needs here tonight. You need God to touch something in your life, your home, your situation, your mind. You need a touch. You need some kind of touch. And so I want to just pray a prayer over the body tonight that God intervenes on your behalf and gives you the touch that you need in your lives. Would you lift your hands to the Lord tonight in closing? Father, over this congregation right now, we stand before you. You see every need. You see every struggle. You see every battle. There are some that may be afraid to approach the throne. There may be some that don't know how to fix it or how to fix their problem. They're so torn. They're so battled. They're so scarred. They've listened to lies of the devil. They're shameful of their past. They're unsure of their future. They're just lost in their present, whatever the situation is. Lord, I pray right now a prayer of authority of your word that, Lord, you will pass by each one in here tonight and you will show yourself faithful to each person here, to our children and to the adults both, that you will pass by and sweep across our lives and show up and give us what we need, whether it's healing, whether it's deliverance, whether it's strongholds broken, whether it's demonic forces broken, God, whether it's encouragement or joy or peace or fear that needs to be broken, whatever it is, God, we declare your blood and your breath upon this body in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Show up, Lord, and pass our way that we get our deliverance and that we leave and that we know we have been made whole. And we give you praise for it in the precious name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. While you're on your feet, let's pray for our offering. After that, you can come present your offering tonight to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you that we have access to the throne 24/7. We thank you you're faithful. And you love us, and you care for us, and you are here in our most stressful and times of darkness, God. You've not left. Your light still shines, and I just thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for this story we have. It's encouraging that if we would just touch your hem, if we would just approach you, God, you do have what we need to make us whole. I ask your blessing on the offering tonight as we bring our offering before you, God, and present it to you, that you use it for your glory, and that you bless every hand that sows, and let them see the rewards of their giving unto you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.